This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome in on a Friday morning. Happy to have you back here. Still got lots to get to here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're going to talk to Ashley Sturm from the Francis House School District. She's running for the board out there. That's coming up in the next hour. Stay tuned for that. But right now, a lot of focus in Jeff City on what's going on down there with the crime bill, state control of the Metropolitan Police Department, potentially. It has passed the Senate and still needs to be, I think, perfected before it would end up on the desk of one Governor Mike Kehoe, we happen to have on the phone this morning. Governor, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Either you're in St. Louis or you're coming here for the Lincoln Days dinner for the state GOP this weekend, right?
Yes, sir. I'll be in St. Louis in meetings all day.
Yeah, I thought so. We appreciate you giving us a minute this morning. What is the status on this crime bill? I understand the Senate still needs to perfect it or whatever before it heads to your desk. Will you sign it?
Yes, in its current form. First, I want to just give a shout out to Representative Brad Chris. It's his House Bill 495. Brad is from South County. He's done a great job getting it out of the House and over to the Senate. And then once it got to the Senate, your own Nick Shore from St. Charles County and Travis Fitzwater from Callaway County did a great job of shepherding that bill through the Senate. So it needs a procedural vote on Monday when the Senate gets back in, and they'll send that bill, assuming it passes, and we believe it will. It will send that bill over to the House. The House will take up the changes that the Senate made, and if we're lucky, they'll approve that and send it to my desk, and I very much look forward to signing that bill.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of pushback. Some of the Democrat senators, Carla May, had filibustered it briefly. What does this look like when it becomes reality? Do you what kind of input will you take on assigning people to that to the board of police commissioners?
Well, remember, everybody's talking about the control of the St. Louis Police Department, which is a key element. There's a lot of other pieces in that bill that are really good tools for law enforcement officers across the state. And so, but yes, you're right. A key piece of it is the St. Louis Police Board. It would have representation of literally six members. So the mayor would always be on there. Four members would be city residents and appointed by the governor. And then there'd be an ex officio member on there that would be a business owner in St. Louis City. Not okay. Voting rights, but a business owner just to kind of get that business look to it. And everybody keeps saying, you know, I've heard the mayor and everybody say, oh, the governor wants to take over. No, the governor wants to appoint local citizens who understand how important it is to have safe streets to the police board to make sure the men and women have the resources they need and the backing they need to protect our communities.
Couple questions with that. I mean, is that where a city resident could nominate someone they feel would be, you know, good for that board, and then you would see those nominations and consider them? How does that work? And then how quickly do you think this whole process could move through, assuming this bill passes and you actually get the board formed?
There is an emergency clause on this bill, and what that means is if it is voted for, and it takes two-thirds of a vote, so that sometimes is difficult to get off. It could get done. It could kick in as soon as 30 days after we sign the bill. If not, it would start on August 28th, like most legislation does. And I will take input from business groups, community leaders, certainly the men and women, the Fraternal Order of Police, the folks who have really been behind trying to make sure this bill gets passed. I'm a big fan of the men and ladies in blue, and they'll have input on who we think would be the best way to go. Chief Tracy, I'm a big fan of his. I would love to hear his thoughts on what the makeup and members of that board should be. So Gabe Gore, et cetera, we'll take input from folks and make sure we put the right people on there who have the police in their heart, but also understand the effect it means on the community, the business community, the safer neighborhoods. It will be a combination of things. It's a rare occasion for me because I'm from and raised and born and raised in the city of St. Louis. So it's not one of these things where politicians are saying, well, Jeff City's messing with St. Louis and they don't know anything about us. I know a lot about the city of St. Louis being raised there. So hopefully I'm going to do what's right for the city to move things forward. That's what we want to accomplish.
Yeah. Governor Mike Kehoe, our guest this morning, we appreciate him giving us a few minutes. You know, we had a big debate on this show last week on this Roundup bill affecting Bayer. I know that that's being debated in the Senate right now. There are a bunch of people who have stood up and said they're opposed to it. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, the agriculture, as you know, is our state's number one industry. And so the issue has to do with labeling and labeling on various products that agriculture producers use.
Right.
My worry is that if we don't get something cleared up and manufacturers that are U.S.-based stop manufacturing those products, you're going to still have those products. I use products that some of the products are talking about on our own farm. I have to have those products. I'm going to buy them from whoever manufactures them. So if we have outside influences, foreign countries sending those products into this country, I don't think that's good. I think the labeling bill, as passed out of the House, is a good bill. It has a lot of work to do in the Senate. As you pointed out, there's multiple senators that have some concerns with that. But that's what the process is about. I'd like to see them try to work through that and see what they can do to make sure the bill works and try to get it passed if possible.
Yeah.
Governor, one of the other bills you've supported would ban cell phones in the classroom, which I myself support. But certainly you're going to have parents listening potentially to the show right now who say, I can't imagine my child not having access to their cell phone. If there's an emergency, I need to be able to get a hold of them, or vice versa. What do you say to those parents?
I'm glad my mother didn't say that. She just called the office.
Yeah.
Listen, one of the most humbling things that's happened to me since I've won is I was elected, this is the first time ever as a governor-elect, to the Executive Committee of the Republican Governors Association. I've had the chance to sit down and talk to Ron DeSantis and Sarah Sanders and Glenn Youngkin and other great Republican governors across this country, some of those states who have passed this very bill. And specifically in Florida with Governor DeSantis, they did a study of before and after on the cell phone ban. And guess what they found out? Kids' learning ability goes up. Mm-hmm. Their social skills go up. At lunch, they're not staring at their phone. They're actually talking to each other. All of the things that we want our kids to do to have a better learning environment happen when you have a bell-to-bell cell phone bill. And I know parents are worried about emergencies. Claudia and I are the parents of four kids. We understand that that's a concern. We just had our first grandchild, actually, 2 weeks ago.
Congrats.
But there's a way with technology that you can make sure kids are safe without having to have them on their cell phone all day long. And it can work, and it is working in other states, and I'd love to see Senator Henderson, who's done a great job shepherding that bill in the Senate, get across the line in the House.
Amen.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I would support that 100%. Governor Kehoe, one last question. We'll let you go. I'm hearing from a number of people that the whole specter of a city-county merger on between St. Louis City and County may be rearing its head again. Where do you stand on that issue? Because the debate last time was, should it be a statewide vote? Should city-county residents definitely be able to vote on it? Have you considered this or heard about it?
Well, obviously I heard about it when it was going on several years ago. I haven't heard anything new working on that. Look, people are always trying to find ways to bring the region forward. You know, we have things that we need to do to achieve economic success. The redesign of the airport or updating that to make it an international world standard airport for companies to know they can rely on, various public safety issues. There's a lot of things we're duplicating, and we have to look at what makes sense. But certainly, you know, if I'm St. Louis County, do I want St. Louis City? That's usually been the problem. I mean, I'm just being honest with you.
Yes.
I'm a city resident. I'm like, hey, we're great. I'm a former city resident. We're a great city. So there's a lot of emotion tied up in that, but I think as we move through what makes sense for public safety and economic development, we need to keep any options we can on the table that make sense for both entities and residents of both entities to make St. Louis what we all know can be is one of the greatest cities in the nation and one of the greatest cities in the world. My goal is to make sure we get to that point, however we need to get there.
Yeah. So just to clarify, would you support city and county residents being able to vote on that decision as opposed to a statewide vote?
Yeah, I think city, county, and residents would have to weigh in on it.
Okay.
You know, I don't know which model will end up moving forward. You and I have seen lots of proposals when it was hot and heavy several years ago. So I would weigh in for sure once a proposal is solid and before, whether it's voters or the legislature or the various elected officials in both those municipalities. But they would have to have a strong say in what was happening there.
Very good. Governor Mike Kehoe, we appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy your weekend.
It's always great to be on with you guys. Thank you. And we're excited to be at Lincoln Days today. A lot of great things going with the Missouri Republican Party. Can't thank Peter Kinder and Jim Bukowski enough for being the volunteer leaders of our state GOP system. And we're looking forward to hearing them and seeing them this weekend with a lot of good conservatives from across the state.
Yes, sir. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Good to get the governor on here. He'll be in town. All of, I think, our elected officials will be here this weekend. And Josh Hawley is going to be here. I know Andrew Bailey. All of the statewide elected officials serve ice cream at one point during that event.
Do they really? It's
pretty cool.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
It bounces back every other year. One year it's in Kansas City. One year they have it here. And I've attended it a couple times over the years. So, all right. Coming up, we will talk to Senator Josh Hawley. Yesterday, he spent a lot of time in a hearing on this whole issue of anti-Semitism. And I'm going to play some of that for you coming up here in just a minute, and we'll get his thoughts on that. And the Doge and what's going on with tariffs coming up at about 7:35.
The luckier you get, the more you get done, boy, the less you regret.
We keep the lights on for 1.5 million homes and manufacturing in New York, in Michigan, and in Minnesota. If he wants to destroy our economy and our families, I will shut down the electricity going down to the U.S. And I'm telling you, we will do it. It's unfortunate. I would rather ship you more electricity, ship you more critical minerals. I want to ship you more energy, more potash to keep your farmers going, and uranium that you use for your nuclear power. It comes through from Saskatchewan over to Ontario, and it's going to be a massive, massive problem.
That's Doug Ford. He is the current premier of Ontario, who's about to learn a dangerous lesson crossing swords with one Donald J. Trump, in my personal opinion, threatening to cut off the electricity to people in upstate New York if Donald Trump doesn't let them charge whatever tariffs they want while we don't charge any. I mean, ultimately, I don't know how else you describe that situation. That's what's going on. I'm going to get to the phones here for just a minute. I've got Daryl on the phone who wants to talk about this whole tariff issue. Daryl, how are you, my friend?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Ben, I tell you, and you know, is this the way you expect it? Is this what you was looking for? Is this what you signed up for?
It's what I hoped for, and I'm proud that it's happening. Yes.
Well, let's look at it this way. I mean, as a businessman, you know, I keep my they call me the Suge Knight of the boardroom because they know that I would snap in a minute when I see something that's not right, that's going crazy. Here's the thing with the Trump in Mexico and Canada. 2026 is when he should be talking about this stuff. you know, you got to have your years, and this year is not the year to be doing it.
Why? So, why not do it now?
I mean, you have at least 10 years. I mean, just think about it. You have 10 years to renegotiate what's going on. That's just the way it is. So when you talk to all the other guys, they're explaining it to your business. And one of the things with Trump, if I go in my company and I say, I want to talk about what the last guy did before I bought the company. And what the last guy did, that's the last. I don't care about what the last guy did, but I care about what's going on today. I care about what this country needs today. I don't care about what this country needed yesterday. I don't care about what the guy did yesterday. What's the price of eggs today.
Sorry to interrupt you, but do you think it's fair that some of these other countries are putting steep tariffs on the United States and we've not done the same? So we're really just trying to say, hey, if you're doing this to us for years and years and years, we're going to meet you there. Do you think it's fair that they're doing it to us, but we have not been doing it to them?
No, but I think that we need to do some about it, but there's a time and a place. There's a time and a place for everything.
So, Daryl, you've been around long enough, and I know you're a business owner. You own businesses in a couple of states. Donald Trump, the political reality on the ground is he's got less than 2 years to make the changes he wants to make. He's not dilly-dallying, and he's clearly got a plan here to get these things in place. Because if not, the Democrats take control of the House in the midterms. He won't get anything done after that. Nothing.
But he's giving it to him.
No, he's not. He's taking it from him.
No, he's giving it to him. I mean, I'm telling you, listen to this. We don't have a Republican Party no more. The guy who just got off, he talked about conservative Republican. I'm like, where in the Haiti is Republicans and conservatives? There is no conservative and Republicans anymore. It's the MAGA. Our conservative party, Republican party, there is no more. We're gone. We're in the desert by ourselves. Nobody wants us anymore.
That's funny.
We can't go nowhere. I can't go nowhere. Especially if I tell somebody that I just happen to be a black guy. I don't know if you noticed that. But if I tell somebody that I'm a conservative, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy.
Well,
I mean,
why would you say that? Because they all just voted for Donald Trump in November overwhelmingly.
Well, I mean, that's okay. Well, I mean,
I think it's so sad that people are expected to vote a certain way because of the color of the skin of their skin.
It don't have nothing to do with the color of the skin. Blacks are more conservative than the so-called conservative. Blacks are concerned about the safety of this country.
Yeah,
they're against abortion. I agree.
Yeah. Well, that's a separate subject. But on the whole tariff thing, Daryl, I appreciate you calling in. I'm up against a break here, but
I'm telling you, he should have waited 10 years and did what he's supposed to do.
All right. Well, Daryl, I appreciate that. He's not going to be around in 10 years, at least not as president. Let's put it that way. All right. Got to get to a quick break. We got Senator Hawley coming up.
You don't think that's not a good idea? I mean, why would we permit a foreign student who's here on a student visa who commits an act of violence, an unlawful act against a Jewish student? Why wouldn't we say, sorry, but if you're going to commit acts of violence against Jewish students, Jewish Americans or foreign Jewish students, whomever, we're going to revoke your visa. I mean,
it's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, Let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, that was Senator Josh Hawley yesterday on this anti-Semitism issue up on Capitol Hill, and we've got him on the line with us this morning. Senator, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, powerful stuff yesterday, and pretty jaw-dropping that some of these people don't see the issue here.
Well, it's just amazing to me, Mark. You would think after October 7th, now we're going on a year and a half, to continue to tax against the state of Israel, and on these campuses, all these liberals, and they're at it again, breaking into libraries, breaking into dorms, assaulting their students. You know, I met with a kid who came by my office. I shouldn't say a kid. He's in his 20s, and he's an ROTC guy on a campus. He came by, Mark, his arm was in a sling because he got jumped. And again, this is a guy, this is a young soldier now, so he can take care of himself, but they jumped him, two people. And I said, why? Why did they jump you on your own campus? And he said, because I'm a Jewish American, and I was setting up a table saying that we shouldn't attack Israel. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Proud guy who's serving in our own armed forces. This is how he's getting treated on his own campus. This has got to stop. And here's my bottom line, Mark. These students, these foreign students who are here on visas, they ought to go home. They ought to be expelled from the country immediately if they engage in this kind of garbage.
I agree. What and maybe I missed it, Senator, but what's the Trump reaction to all this? I mean, I'm surprised the administration hasn't taken some action.
You know what? I was told just yesterday evening that Marco Rubio over at State has begun the process of expelling students who are here on foreign visas and who are engaging in this kind of behavior. I mean, we should just say this is totally, totally unacceptable in the United States of America. And it's also anti-American. I mean, let's be honest. These people who are out there chanting for the death of Israel, also chanting the pro-Osama bin Laden slogans, they're all of these lefties waving the Hamas flag. They hate this country. They hate Israel. They shouldn't be here if that's their attitude.
You know, Trump has received a lot of pushback on these tariffs that he's planning to impose, and now it's come out that he's going to delay for about a month or so the tariffs on Canada and Mexico. What's your take on all this?
Well, it seems to me like he's taking a pretty reasonable and frankly surgical approach, and you just mentioned that he just said in the last couple of days that if these goods that are being made in Canada and Mexico are actually complying with our trade agreements with NAFTA, USMCA, then he's not going to tariff them. I mean, I don't know what the Canadians and the Mexicans have to complain about there. Here's the thing it really reveals, is that a lot of what they do, both north and south of the border, is not complying with the trade agreements that they have with us. You know, just take dairy products, for example. We produce a lot of dairy products in the state of Missouri. The Canadians tariff those at over 200%. And they want to keep on doing that stuff. Take our friends south of the border in Mexico. They are continuing to take our auto jobs, our car-making jobs. We got a bunch of them right there in St. Louis, a bunch of them over on the other side of the state. We're hemorrhaging jobs nationwide in the auto industry to Mexico. Why? Because they're not complying with the NAFTA agreement. So my view is these guys are fussing and complaining. They're not complying with their own trade agreements. I think Trump is pushing them to.
I think it's a great point. And I think when you explain it that way, the average voter kind of gets it a little a little better than, you know, just tariff's such a vague term. A lot of people probably don't understand it, Senator. So I'm glad you described it in that way. You know, yesterday I saw where a future Democratic candidate, Gavin Newsom, has read the tea leaves and decided he's now against men and women's sports. But you stood on the Senate floor while every Democratic U.S. senator voted to keep men and women's sports. What is going on here?
Well, it's just a religion for them, Mark, and it is a false religion, if I may be so bold. I mean, to say that there is something wrong with our kids. I thought the most important line of the president's speech on Tuesday night, to be honest with you, is when he said, our message to kids is, you're good the way that God made you.
Yep.
It's not like if you're a young girl, oh, you know, really, maybe you're a boy trapped in a girl's body. That is so destructive. It has led to mental health issues like we've never seen. It has led to suicides. And it's led to these gender mutilation surgeries where these doctors, so-called, get rich, filthy rich, doing these surgeries. They mutilate these kids many times without parental consent. There are irreversible sterilization surgeries, and Trump is putting it into them. We banned them in the state of Missouri for minors, which is exactly as it should be, and we ought to do that nationwide. And to see these Democrats still defend it, I don't know how they can, Mark. And, of course, Gavin Newsom's figured it out because he wants to run for president.
That's right.
But the truth is, it is not compassion. It is preying upon children. It's a form of child abuse, and we ought to ban it everywhere.
You know, I did see some of the Democratic congresswomen release this video on TikTok of them. It says, choose your fighter, and they're kind of jumping around, acting like they're boxing, I guess. So I just have to know when the conservative congressmen like yourself are planning to release your own version of that.
Not a chance.
Did you see it?
Cringe. You talk about cringe.
Yeah.
I'm just like, who thought this was ever a good idea, and who agreed to participate in it? Oh my gosh, they don't know what to do. I mean, that's the bottom line. You saw it Tuesday night. I was there in the chamber. You've got those Democrats trying to disrupt the proceedings. Not just interrupt, that would be bad enough, but disrupt. You've got the guy with the cane waving it around. The Democrats were hollering and shouting throughout the speech. They don't have a clue. And meanwhile, they're out there defending transgender surgeries on minors. They're out there defending transgender operas in Peru that our tax dollars have been paying for. My view is this. They couldn't be more out of touch with the American people, and that's why Trump is doing so well.
Yeah. Senator Josh Hawley, our guest, you know, I know you're working on a bill that should clearly be bipartisan and cross party lines, and that is the Faster Labor Contracts Act. What's that all about?
This is something that President Trump talked about on the campaign trail. You know, he's proud of the fact, and I know this because he's mentioned it to me many times directly, personally. He's proud of the fact that he got so many votes, not just from blue-collar workers who supported him overwhelmingly, but also from union households. And I know that's true in our state.
Right. Because
we got a lot of union members in our state right there in the St. Louis area, and they voted for Trump big time. And he wants to do more to make sure our working families are getting taken care of against these mega multinational corporations that send our jobs away. The bill is just saying, listen, when workers are trying to get a contract with one of these mega employers and the corporation's dragging their feet and saying, no, actually, we're not going to renew your contract. We're not going to engage. We're not going to allow that. We're going to put a shot clock on the time to get that first contract. It's basic stuff. Most people look at this and like, well, wait a minute. Isn't that already the law? And the answer is it's not. So this is just about helping working people who are trying to get a new contract, trying to get good wages, trying to get some recognition from companies like Amazon to make sure they're able to do it. And I tell you what, this is why Donald Trump won the state of Missouri by big double digits. He's bringing in this new coalition, and we need to deliver for all of these voters and protect them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Senator, you are in town, I know, for the big state Lincoln dinner and gathering this weekend, Lincoln Days. I know there's a breakfast that's got your name on it. I'm envisioning you slaving over a grill. You making pancakes? What are you doing?
Maybe what I'll do is I'll just do the talking. We might divide the labor up that way. but it is a breakfast. There is real food. So for all your listeners who are wondering, is that a am I going to show up and there's nothing there? No, it's breakfast. The tradition that we do, Mark, is my whole family's there. My wife will be there. All my kids. We host this together every year. And I always give my kids the microphone, which is a moment of great peril for me because there's no telling what they will say or stories they'll tell about Dad. But we can't wait. We'll be there tomorrow morning.
Well, I'm sure you're looking forward to spending the weekend with us here in St. Louis. Listen, Senator, we always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk soon. Josh Hawley there, our U.S. Senator, and great to get him on here this morning. So many different things we could have talked about. Mm-hmm. I think we got a lot of them in there. I would love to have talked to him a little bit about Doge, but we kept him for 12 minutes as it was. So
we'll just have to call him back for another interview.
Yeah, we'll get him more on that. I'm sure he's got some thoughts on that. My thought is always, just like what Senator Kennedy said, which so far has been my soundbite of the morning, because I think it's absolutely the truth about people complaining the loudest about those tax cuts. Go to cut three for the people, and then we'll take a quick break. We're going to be back with Kim on a Whim right after this.
Most of the publicity has been on the spending cuts. And look, I'm all for them. I think Elon Musk is a rock star. The tofu crowd is mad. But, you know, when you trim fat, pigs squeal.
Yeah. We'll be back in just a minute.
The Mark Cox Morning Show on 97.1 FM Talk. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim on a Whim.
You know, right now, Catholics around the world are honoring Lent, which of course began on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, and goes until Easter. And at the same time, we have people, about 110,000 people, who have signed some petition and vowed to not shop at Target. They chose this 40-day period specifically because it coincides with Lent. And they're saying it's because Target came out in January and said that, you know, hey, we're going to kind of move away. We're going to roll back these DEI policies that we had initially put in place. And they feel like they are just completely alienated and they don't have an ally anymore in
Target.
Are
they Catholic?
Well, what's very interesting to me is a lot of black pastors have been the ones pushing this. So a number of parishioners are engaging in it. In fact, listen to some of these parishioners who were saying, yeah, this is a fantastic idea.
You're absolutely right. Because Target doesn't appreciate us, why should we give them our finances?
I totally support his fast. I am not with companies who are not inclusive of everyone. And like I said before, I totally support it. I am going to participate in it. And I was going to do it anyway before he even called for that fast.
Whatever. This is the problem. Companies should just stay neutral. The issue is that these companies like Target, they pick a side, then they get pushback for that, then they try to reverse course, then they get pushback for that. Well, now you've irritated both sides. But what I find challenging, and Mark, you can tell me if you agree with this, would be, so let's just say Target was neutral. They didn't put up anything that would lead people to believe they're conservative or liberal, like nothing for Pride Month.
Which is what they should do.
They should do that. Nothing for Pride Month, nothing for even Black History, like just nothing. The problem is, I do believe that the people, particularly on the left, feel like that wouldn't be inclusive. Like, I'm not offended if I don't see them putting something up to be pro-life or whatever. I don't need to see a t-shirt from Target saying, like, pro-life is pro-love. Even though I feel strongly about that, I'm okay not seeing a t-shirt like that from Target. But I feel like the left has to have their pride shirts to feel like they're an ally.
It's the only reason they're doing it, right? That's it. It's the woke culture, which is receding quickly in this country, needed that to justify their existence. And they needed it to walk in and have it brightly on display right in your face. If they choose to sell swimsuits with extra material in the crotch for people who are freaks, you're welcome to do that. Do it in a part of the store where I don't have to see it. And if there's really a demand for that, then the store would provide that sort of clothing. They don't need to rub it in my face when I walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is there's not an economic demand for it. They're only doing it to make a political statement.
Mm-hmm.
There can't be that. Statistically, if you look at the numbers, there can't be there's no way Target makes any money off those swimsuits. It's just not a thing. And any company that's buying products and pushing them on you that they know there's no market for, they're only doing it to to push their politics in your face. That's where a lot of these companies made their mistake with this.
But a number of these companies, it's not just Target, are rolling back these DEI policies.
It's Lowe's,
Amazon, well, Google, Meta, McDonald's. So are you boycotting all of these companies, or have you just really honed in on Target because you're just so angry at everything that they've done in the last couple of years, where they moved the tuck swimsuits to the back and those kinds of things?
And it's an easy target because, unlike Costco, you don't have to have a membership to go there. It's just a store that you can say, well, I choose not to shop there anymore. And you're welcome to do that. But I mean, the identity politics of it, I think, are what irritate the hell out of most people. And if you'll notice closely, if you watch this, they're now trying to change the definition of DEI to include like the Civil Rights Act. Like, if you cancel DEI, you're against the Civil Rights Act. Well, I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is reverse discrimination. That's all that it is. It's not about telling a company you can't discriminate in your hiring practices. That's already federal law. It's already against the law to discriminate in your hiring practices. But it's not against federal law on how you promote people. When you're creating quotas and you have to promote somebody based on the color of their skin or their gender identity, which the left would prefer to say you have to have a certain number of people who identify as transgender, a certain number of people who are black, Asian, whatever, and it has to fit the exact parameters of what the demographics are in the United States, that's not going to happen in most workplaces. It's just not.
Right.
The meritocracy, it removed meritocracy. Mm-hmm. That's all DEI was about. They didn't want people promoted on merit.
Right.
They wanted them promoted based on the color of their skin, which is the exact opposite of what Dr. Martin Luther King preached all those years ago. And everybody seemed to embrace for years and years until they realized they could make money by pushing DEI.
Well, because they say we're privileged, right? Just the color of our skin makes us privileged.
Yes.
Here's what I'm wondering. Conservatives like myself boycotted Target. I didn't go in for like a year and a half. I did go back eventually, but it took a while, and I don't go nearly as often as I used to. That used to be one of my go-to stores. Now it's like, oh, I can't get it here, 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 and here. Okay, I'll run to Target. And I wonder now if some of the conservatives like me who did boycott the company will want to support them now during this little 40-day fasting of Target that this group is doing.
Interesting.
To try to say, hey, we support the fact that you're rolling back on your DEI policies.
My guess is it's a small enough percentage of the public, the buying public, that it's not going to be a blip on Target's radar, whereas the other side was.
It was, but
their stock dropped. Their prices.
It
impacted their stock prices and everything.
It did. Valuation. Ultimately, obviously, the company, it wasn't enough to get the company to go under. But
yes,
you're right; it did have an impact.
It had a huge impact on them. Absolutely. All right, coming up, we are going to talk to Greg Brown. You know, the chief, former chief, I should say. I can't stop calling. He's still the chief to me. Even though he's not officially retired from Eureka, but still very involved in Guns and Hoses. We are as well, and we're proud to be able to announce the winners of their Queen of Hearts raffle every Friday at 8:20. So we're going to get Chief Brown in the studio here coming up in the next hour, and we'll talk about the Francis Howell School Board race. Stay tuned.